All rise. The United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is now open and in session. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Thank you. Be seated. Okay, good morning, everyone. The first argued case this morning is number 16-1906, Handheld Products Incorporated against Amazon.com, Inc. Mr. Luck.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning to the panel. May it please the court. The district court's construction of selectively and capturing our textbook examples.
What do you understand the word selectively to mean here? Is that directed to the quality of the image, selecting a good image? Is that the idea?
No, it is not, Your Honor. Selectively refers to, if you look at figure two, it takes a frame off of the bust that comes from the frame grabber of the camera and then places that frame into memory. The concept of image resolution or quality relates only to the mode where the user is doing the selecting. When the selecting is done by the processor, as is made clear as an alternative right from the abstract of the invention, there's a software routine, boxes, I believe 140 to 150. If the image cannot be decoded, it gets sent to a file and you start the process over again until an image is selected or a frame is selected that can be decoded.
You say made clear from the abstract, but there was concern about definiteness and sufficiency in terms of the scope that you say is the correct scope?
Are you speaking with respect to Claim 1, Your Honor?
Well, I'm talking about selectively.
Okay.
When you say that there was a mistake and that was too narrowly construed, but that there were a variety of concerns that I assume were argued.
Well, I believe, Your Honor, that the district court essentially struck the sentences of the alternate mode of using the processor to be the trigger for the selectively capturing step. And so where I would start with, and there are over five places in the specification of the patent that make clear that an automatic trigger is an alternative to a user trigger, and that was where the court went wrong on the on its construction of selectively.
I was going to pursue the thought of the sufficiency of the algorithm for the automatic trigger.
Well, the sufficiency of the algorithm came into play in Claim 22. And so the first point that I'm addressing is the what we believe is an improper construction of Claim 1, which does not have an issue with the algorithm. In Claim 22, the algorithm of processing means for processing an imaged target is found, if that's what Your Honor is referring to.
Well, I'm trying to understand. You're asking us to construe the claim more broadly than, according to the district court, the scope that
yes.
is provided.
For Claim 1.
Yes.
And so I'll just point the court to exactly why I think that's appropriate. And starting with the abstract, in the third line, it says, upon proper input by a user, or at automatically after a timed interval. That is referring to the selectively capturing.
I understand that the district court found that that determination of the timed interval is set by a user. So what evidence is there in the record that would show that it's not selected by a user or does not have to be selected by a user?
Sure, and that comes from the specification of the patent itself, Your Honor. There is no disclosure in this patent of a user setting that timed interval.
In footnote 1 of the district court's opinion, the court says that the patentee didn't come back with evidence explaining who set the time interval if it wasn't the user. So how do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, there is evidence in the patent, but the patent itself, the specification, does not refer to a user setting the timer.
That's true, but how else would it operate if it's not a user? I think that's what the district court was getting at, was saying that there was no other way that it could operate.
Sure. I would look to the to figure one that says keyboard, mouse, timer, etc. And then I would look to column four, in which it says, and I'm at line 23, included along the common bus are user inputs such as a keyboard slash mouse arrangement. It's not referring to the timer as a user input. And so, for example...
I understand. I agree with you, actually. I don't see anything in the spec that says that the user selects the timing. But I was wondering if you had any position on, if it's not the user that selects the timing, what would it be? Well, are you saying there's a preset time period? What is your position?
Exactly correct. In column four at line 51 through 54, it talks about a timer being set, for example, to go off every 2 seconds. And if the timer were set that way, it could be pre-programmed. If it were set that
way...
Does
it talk about it's being pre-programmed?
The patent doesn't say pre-programmed, but the patent also doesn't say user involvement. And
well, it says on column 5, line 20, it says, regardless of the mode selected, the user aims the image sensor till the resolved image is displayed.
Correct. And I believe that's actually where the district court went wrong, Your Honor. And let me explain. The regardless of the mode selected language refers not to the selectively capturing step, but to the aiming step. And if we go up to the lines just before that.
Excuse me just a minute. Is that the aiming step, aiming an imaging apparatus, which is the first step of Claim 1?
That's correct, Your Honor.
But it can't be, because this is talking about until a resolved image is displayed. The aiming step occurs before there's a resolved image.
Well, the resolved image can appear as a result of the aiming. But clearly, I believe that sentence refers to aiming, and the point I would like to address with the court, if you look at the preceding sentence, it draws the distinction right there between a user input of pressing a hotkey or an automatic input from the processor. And so our position is...
But you said that the automatic input doesn't have anything to do with quality, so...
Correct. Correct, and it doesn't need to, because the software...
So your view is it takes a picture of a blurred image and then redoes it until it gets a non-blurred image? Where does the specification describe that process?
It describes it with reference to figure 2.
Where?
If we go from the attempt decode block 135... to the decode data diamond 140, if it can't, oh, I'm sorry, let me wait for you to get there, my apologies. If it doesn't decode, it goes to capture image to file, and then back below the output message, and...
Yeah, but I don't see that refers to what you're talking about, which is if the image is blurred, it tries again. Where does the specification say that? That's a lawyer argument as to what figure 2 shows. Where does the specification tell us that in the automatic mode that if it gets a blurred image, it repeats?
It doesn't say those exact words, but what it does say is in column 4 at line 51, if we take the example of a timer that is going off every 2 seconds, if we then match that to what is shown in figure 2, let's just imagine that there's an input from the timer to the assert decode diamond. That then is captured into RAM, and the decoding software attempts to read that image. It fails. It goes to the capture image to file. In 2 seconds, there's going to be another frame taken, and that will simply continue until there's...
Yeah, but there's no description of that in the specification. No description of how that works and what the algorithm is for doing that. I mean, it's not there, right?
Well, I disagree, Your Honor. I think that the flow diagram itself informs one of ordinary skill in this field as to what is necessary to accomplish
that. But it doesn't say, figure two doesn't say anything about a blurred image or an unresolved image, right? It says attempt to decode, doesn't decode, so it goes back. It doesn't say anything about the quality of the image.
It does not, but it has a very detailed disclosure of what's necessary to decode the image. And I think it's very apparent from the diagram that if it doesn't decode and you're in that automatic timer mode, you are going to continue to select those frames from the bus until you get one that the decoding software can recognize. And if you think about the practical application of this, there could be many different forms of the decoding software in terms of what resolution it would require. And so there has to be some way of, even if a user were to make the input based upon its perceived quality of the image, some way of dealing with an image that it couldn't read.
Okay, let's hear from the other side, and we'll save your rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Benyakar.
Mr. Benyakar, yes, Benyakar. Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I am David Benyakar, and I represent the appellees. Several of the answers that you just heard from my opponent are the exact opposite of what their contentions were at the district court. Judge Dyke asked my opponent, well, does selectively mean quality? And he said no. But let me read you what he said in his claim construction brief. This is a quote at A450 to 451. What is important and how the patent defines this limitation, this selectively capturing limitation, is based on the quality condition of the image and what is selected for further decoding operations. Judge Thine, in her claim construction order, cited that admission twice. So there was no dispute before the district court that selectively means quality. I'd like to address one other thing my opponent said before I go on. He said something about the picture is taken every 2 seconds and it has nothing to do with quality. The specification teaches exactly the opposite. What the specification teaches is that you take a snapshot, and it's called a snapshot in the patent, and after you take a snapshot, that picture that the user took is automatically loaded into a barcode decoding program, which is the invention. If that the barcode is decoded, great. If it's not decoded, the user has to make another selection. The user decides, do I want to try again, or do I just want to save this in a file?
What about in the mode where there's the predetermined time period? I don't see something in the specification that clearly says who selects that time period or how it's selected.
So let me tell you the way the district court saw this and the way I see it, which is the patent says that in all modes of operation, including the auto timer mode, and this is at column 5, lines 20 through 26, regardless of the mode selected, now, one of the modes is the auto timer mode. The other two modes are the hotkey and the mouse. Regardless of the mode selected, the user aims the image sensor 16 at the object T until a resolved image is displayed in the monitor. And then the picture is taken.
Can I ask you something? I see that language. Why does that not read on? Okay, the first part is talking about until a resolved, well, it says the user aims the image sensor. So then you've got in claim one, it's a method claim, and it says aiming an imaging apparatus at a target of interest. And then the second thing you've got here is until a resolved image is displayed in the monitor. And then element two of claim one, or step two of claim one, is continually displaying a real-time image. And it's not until you get the third step that you're talking about selectively capturing.
That's true, Your Honor. What this passage is saying is that in all modes of... So let me take a step back. What's disclosed is a kind of a conventional camera autotimer. We all know how those work. You can take a picture in real time, or you set the time in advance for the time you think that the image is going to look good. We've all used those in standard digital cameras. What this is saying is, I've disclosed several modes, three, hotkey, mouse, autotimer. In all of those modes, you don't take the picture until the user sees a quality image. Now, even if, assume arguendo, okay, that the user doesn't set the amount of time, so it comes pre-programmed, 5 seconds, whatever, you can't set it. Well, you still have to decide when that timer starts, because the specification says, and there was no dispute about this in the district court, what's critical is that you take a picture when there's a quality image. And what this is saying is, even in that auto timer mode, you better set the auto timer to the time when you think you see a quality image, just like we all use auto timers. So, and like I said, this, it's kind of a red herring in terms of whether the user picks 5 seconds or 10 seconds or 2 seconds, because whether it's pre-programmed or not, the user's still the one that has to decide, okay, start timing now. And so the user is still selecting the instant in time for capturing. The user is still taking the picture.
Okay.
Pardon me. So Mr. Lewick said, well, the district court ignored all the automatic embodiments in the patent. But that is, as both Judge Thine and Judge Andrews observed, a misreading of the specification. The every example that they cite refers to one of two things: either the automatic loading of the picture the user takes into the barcode decoding program, which is the purported invention here, or the auto timer, which the user has to set. There's no disclosure, and Judge Stein said this exactly, there's no disclosure in the patent of automatically assessing image quality and taking the picture based on it, which is what HHP itself insisted at the district court is how you define
it. Going back to your point about quality, where is that best described in your view in the specification?
So it's several places. So the patent starts by saying that you have a problem if you don't pick a quality image, because if you don't pick a quality image, the barcodes won't be decoded. They themselves explain this very well in the district court. So at the bottom of column one, top of line column two, it says, if the image is not properly resolved by the digital camera, you can't decode the barcode. This is at column two, lines 6 through 15. So it's talking about the prior art. So in the prior art, the user took the picture, and then the user had to separately load a barcode decoding program and then load the picture into the barcode decoding program. So it says the user has to take a quality picture when it sees a properly resolved image on the monitor. The problem is, if the barcode can't be decoded, you have to go through this whole process again. You look, try to take another good picture, then you have to load the new picture into the barcode decoding program.
That's the prior art.
That's the prior art.
Sure. And so this invention was directed to not having to reload and reload and
right.
reload.
You still have to take the picture. The patent doesn't say anything about eliminating that step. So you have two steps. You have the user takes a picture, and then the user has to load in the prior art. The invention is the automatic loading. They want to read the claim so that it also automates the user taking the picture. There's no disclosure of that. But to further answer your question, so that's the background in column 2, lines 6 through 15. Then the critical step is, for the invention, what the invention purportedly solves is at column 5, lines 20 through 26. It says, regardless of the mode selected, the user aims the image sensor 16 at the object T until a resolved image is displayed in the monitor. So it's saying, okay, that part that I told you before about how you have to see a good picture, that's still true in my invention. You have to look and make sure you don't take the picture until it's good. But what I'm adding is the next sentence. Upon depression of the hotkey, the processor 22 proceeds automatically to blocks 130 and 135, which call for the capture and attempt to decode.
But then there's the alternative mode, where the snapshot can be taken automatically by the processor after a predetermined time interval.
If that's true, but regardless of the mode, regardless of the mode, the user has to make sure that that picture is taken when there's a quality image displayed, or the patent teaches you can't decode the barcode.
Now, am I correct in understanding that if the claims are interpreted to require analog to digital conversion, that's both claims 1 and 22, then there's an alternative ground?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. So the capturing step was construed by the district court to mean analog to digital conversion. It construed it that way because it was undisputed that that was the plain meaning below, the technical meaning. And the district court said HHP does not dispute. And they didn't. In fact, when they appealed Judge Stein's ruling to Judge Andrews, they proposed an alternative construction, a brand new construction of Judge Andrews, which agreed that capturing means analog to digital conversion. So, yes, and there's the video capture card, which is the only device disclosed in the patent that performs analog to digital conversion. It's the only device disclosed in the patent that's associated with the function of capturing.
Do you know where in the record there was the admission that the claims require analog to digital conversion in the capturing step?
Well, so no. The admission was that there was no dispute. We put in evidence, dictionary definitions, technical definitions, that capture in the video arts means analog to digital conversion. They did not dispute it.
They didn't dispute your evidence.
Correct. Okay. And so the district court observed, Judge Stein observed, there's no dispute about this. And when they appealed to Judge Andrews, not only didn't they dispute it, they proposed a new construction which embraced it, that has analog to digital conversion. So there was no dispute about this below. In addition, the only device associated with capturing in the patent is a device called a video capture card. It's the only device that associates with the function of capturing. And they agree in their briefs that the function of that card is analog to digital.
I understand what you're saying in terms of claim 22, which is a means plus function claim. So that makes a little more sense in that context. What's the basis for reading analog to digital converting into a method claim, or reading that structure into the method claim 1?
So we are not necessarily reading the quote-unquote video capture card into claim 1. What we're saying is capture has a plain meaning in the technical arts, in the video arts, in the imaging arts. We have an expert declaration to that effect. There are technical dictionaries that were submitted as evidence in the district court that shows that in the video arts, capture means analog to digital conversion.
And so the position is, even if there is some earlier analog to digital conversion that occurs for the displaying step, there also has to be analog to digital conversion for the capturing step.
That is exactly how these video capture cards worked. So what you don't see in their blue brief, but there's extensive record evidence below that I could cite to you, is these video capture cards were known devices, Your Honor. The patent says twice, I'm not going to tell you the details about how it works because they're known, so look in the art. So we looked in the art. Our expert submitted a declaration with a reference to a technical article that did a review of 18 different commercially available video capture cards in November of 1994. That article says on its face, all of these cards do two different kinds of conversions, one on video and a different kind of analog to digital conversion on still images, the pictures that the users take. The still images are a different digital format and they're a higher quality format. And the article says on its face, please don't confuse the two. They're different.
What if a month after this application was filed, there was a new type of capturing card that didn't have an analog to digital converter? So you're saying that because at the time that the patent was filed and sought, there was everything we had, all the capture cards had an analog digital converter, so therefore the claim should be interpreted narrowly to always include analog to digital conversion?
No. The definition of a video capture card is a device that does analog to digital conversion. There are dictionary definitions in the record. In addition to the definition of capture, what a video capture card is, by definition, a device that does analog to digital conversion. So we have various dictionary definitions at A581, which is the definition of just plain capturing. And then at 656 through 659, there are different dictionary definitions of capture card and video capture device. The definition of a video capture card is an expansion board that converts analog video signals to digital form. So if it doesn't do that, it's not a video capture card. That's the definition of a video capture card. And there's no dispute here, Your Honor, that the only function associated with a video capture card in this patent is analog to digital conversion. So the plain meaning of capturing is analog to digital conversion. The patent discloses a video capture card, the only function of which is to do analog to digital conversion. That should, in our view, end the matter in terms of construing capturing. And that's what Judge Stein found. She said there's no dispute that capturing means analog to digital conversion. There's no dispute that the video capture card in the patent only performs analog to digital conversion. And that video capture card is the only device in the patent that's associated with the function of capturing. Case closed. And we believe case closed on that as well. And Judge Stein observed this, although they have some conclusory statements in their contentions about how a single image is converted into digital, they don't say that that's the selected image. When you look at their contentions on what happens to the image that's selected, that's designated for attempted decoding, which was their previously rejected construction of capturing, and Judge Stein observed that in her claim construction order as well.
What do you think processing means?
So, processing...
in the context of this claim.
I'm sorry.
In the context of this claim, of course.
So, in the context of the processing means, there's no way to tell what processing means. Okay? It could be any number of things, right? It could be the analog to the conversion of the image to analog that's done by device 14. It could be the analog to digital conversion that's done by the video capture card. It could be one of any number of the types of barcode decoding that's done. There's no way to know. And when we proceeded on this before Judge Stein, they didn't even offer a construction of what processing means. They relied on a misreading of this court's Katz decision to say, oh, well, you don't need it as long as you disclose a general purpose computer.
Well, actually, Katz says that you have to first interpret processing and then determine whether that's a specialized function or not.
Yes, correct.
But even in that case, this court remanded for a determination of what processing means.
Yes. So when that they appealed that indefiniteness ruling to Judge Andrews, Judge Andrews looked at the court's Katz decision. He saw that we said there's no way to know what processing is, and they didn't order. They didn't even offer a construction. So Judge Andrews then ordered them to tell him what your position is of what processing means. And their answer was, coordinate the movement of image data by sending commands to the different components. There's just no claim construction canon that gets you there. That function isn't even described in the patent, much less linked to any device clearly linked. They don't even show any clear linking between the function of coordinating the movement.
But I would have thought you would say that if that is the function, that under CATS, that's not something that's done by a general purpose computer, that it requires special programming.
We do say that as well. In fact, it cannot be. It cannot be done by a general purpose computer because look at the arrows that they point to as reflecting that. If you look at the arrows that they point to in figure 2, and they say this shows the coordination of the movement. Hold on. They show seven arrows in figure two, and one of the arrows is between the assert to code and the capture frame into RAM. That's the invention. That's the purported invention. You take a picture and you automatically load it into RAM. How can that possibly have been done by a general purpose computer when that's the very invention?
Okay, to move on.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. And would you add another 4 minutes to the rebuttal since we've run over?
I'd like to start with the capture step and the court's reading of analog to digital into claim one. Analog to digital conversion appears only once in the patent, beginning at the bottom of column four. It relates to the continuously displaying step, not the selectively capturing step. And the specification makes that very clear. If we go to line 64, the image of the target is then converted into analog electrical signals, which are transmitted to the frame grabber, having circuitry to perform the analog to digital conversion to provide an array of pixels as defined by default parameters, which is displayed as a continuous video signal, 120. And if we go to figure two, we can very clearly see that everything having to do with selective capture and loading into RAM and decoding takes place after the analog to digital step is completed. In other words, the frame is taken off of the continuous digital signal and placed into RAM. HHP never conceded this. The district court was in error to say so, and I would direct the court to the appendix at page 463, which is HHP's claim construction brief below, which addresses specifically the term capturing and states, Amazon's proposed construction for capturing, quote, converting the live analog video signal into a single digital frame is not the selective capturing in the claim limitation. Amazon is pointing to the wrong operation. That has been our position all the way through. It remains our position today, and it is the position that is consistent with the description.
Now, claim 22 is a means plus function claim. What do you contend is the corresponding structure there for the selective the image capture means?
Sure. I would point the court, first of all, I believe this does fall within the exception of CATS because there is clear linking to what processing is.
That's a different question. I was asking about the image capture means.
The image capture means was found in the court's claim construction. The capture means is taking the frame off of the bus, but
that's the function. What's the structure?
Well, all right. The structure for the capture means is the microprocessor, in our view, executing the instruction from the either an user input or an automatic input, as shown in Figure 1. If we look at block, I believe it's
22.
Yes, block 22, and specifically block 34, in conjunction with the microprocessor, the district court interpreted capture as requiring the analog to digital conversion. And that's plainly incorrect because the specification never describes such an operation. The analog to counsel said that it goes back and performs the analog to digital conversion again. That is nowhere in the patent. And they make the assertion that it's the video capture card that does that. Maybe a video capture card that you buy off the shelf does it or doesn't do it, but that's not how the patent describes the operation taking place. And so our proposed construction is designating a real-time image for attempted decoding based upon a condition and placing it into RAM. I think that gives the claim the correct scope. It doesn't limit the claim to a user. It accommodates for user or automatic input, and it doesn't put the analog to digital into claim one. With respect to the processing means, which was addressed before, the court can look to the top of column four where we disclose a general purpose microprocessor, number 22 in figure one, and then what is that describes what it is for. It is for receiving, outputting, and processing exactly like it was determined in CATS, where this panel reversed the district court's interpretation of seven claims. Very much parallel type of language in the claim, general processing. Sent that back to the district court for, as you noted, Your Honor, further delineation of what processing means meant. The district court then properly interpreted that to be a general purpose computer. Now, I'd like to also just briefly address the summary judgment. After the district court interpreted claim one as requiring user involvement in selecting the frame to be captured, it then resolved factual issues against HHP in finding that user involvement based upon looking at a displayed image was not sufficient to meet the claim language. We believe there are three errors here. If you go back to claim one, clearly automatic or user-based selection. Two, we think that the microprocessor is a sufficient description under CATS with the general processing means that are disclosed. If not, there is additional disclosure in the specification with the software routine and the flow diagram, figure two. And third, the court improperly resolved factual inferences against HHP on summary judgment. Any one of those errors requires a remand. We believe all three errors warrant reversal. If there are no further questions, I'll thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, let's see, Mr. Benyakar, do you need a minute to respond on the summary judgment aspect, which wasn't raised? Just very briefly.
The district court's construction correctly requires that just as the user does when they take a picture, the user aims the camera and based on the display, snaps the picture at the instant in time they choose. There is no dispute here that the accused apps do not do that. They prepared a technology tutorial video which shows, in their view, how the apps work. Users only aim. They can't take a picture. That's their video about how the accused apps work. In addition, when you look at their contentions, their infringement contentions, the ones that they're relying on here, as Judge Thine said, there's no dispute based on your contentions that there's no infringement. Look at the contentions that they cite in their brief. This is the user action they rely on. The user selectively captures the barcode by putting it within the measurement region of the camera and adjusting the image so that the barcode is appropriately aligned and reasonably is stable. That's aiming. You're holding it steady and keeping it stable. Now, what do their contentions say the apps do? This is at A1535.
Well, I think that we're repeating ourselves. I want to be specific to the summary judgment point that was raised.
With respect to the issue of did the district court resolve
as to whether there should be a trial of disputed facts?
There are no facts. There are no disputed facts, Your Honor. If you look at their contentions about how the accused apps work, there are no disputed facts. When we moved for summary judgment, we accepted these facts as true. We accept their contentions as true. We're not saying they are. but we accepted them as true for purposes of summary judgment. Their own contentions allege that it's the apps that select the instant time for capturing. There's no fact issue. Their contention says the app establishes and or applies criteria, its own criteria, that determine what images and or which portions of the images will be selected. The apps are doing that, designated for further detection, decoding, and storage. Their own contentions say it's not the user that's determining quality. Their contentions, A1535, numerous contentions that say the apps have criteria for establishing quality, the apps determine when the image is of sufficient quality, then the apps take the picture. That's not the construction. There's no issue of fact.
Okay. Anything else that you need to raise?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you both. The case is taken under submission.